It's a special edition of Mugs in the Morning here on KODY. It's our monthly chat with the Chief. We have Chief of Police for the City of North Platte, Dan Hudson, joining us. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to have you in the studio again, sir. How have you been the past month?
Oh, we've been busy, but I just want to make sure everyone out there knows that we can cancel the missing persons report. We found Toto. He'd blown over a county or two, but we got him back to his rightful owner, and hopefully no more of that today.
Yeah, hopefully. My goodness, those days. Severe winds.
My phone will be blowing up here to say, Dan, don't try. You know, it's all right. It's too early in the morning. No, I'm great. It's been a busy couple months, but we're getting through it.
Now, it has been a busy couple of months since we talked last, Chief Hudson. A couple of big local crimes occurring here that you and your officers and your staff have been heavily involved with. Obviously, even though there's an arrest that's been made and perhaps the biggest one here throughout the year so far, obviously there's still a lot that we can't discuss. But with the death of Brett Torres occurring over here on Chestnut, just hopping a skip and a jump away from the radio station here, an arrest was made with Mr. Allen, and Mr. Allen currently at the Lincoln County Detention Center.
Yes, he is. It's a tragic situation, and we're still trying to figure out some whys. We've got an idea. We know how and who, but you know, there's as we talk off the air about a lot of things, there's so much more to some of these stories, and you know, and that's where we really get into to understand, having a better understanding. It's when you start peeling the onion back and you start trying to figure out why. And it's tragic. It's any time that you have a violent crime, or any time especially that it results in the murder of another human being. You know, there's families involved, there's people involved, and you know, and Brett's family, and it's tragic. So we'll continue to work with that. We'll continue to work with the county attorney's office, and we'll continue to put those that I so famously always talk about, the pieces to that puzzle, together.
And that's one thing that I've learned throughout our relationship and our friendship here since you've been here, Dan, is just because an arrest has been made does not mean that the work from you and your investigators is done by any means. The arrest has been made. There's been some court proceedings and hearings in this case, but there's still pieces of the puzzle that are being put together, it sounds like.
Absolutely, and we still are getting information. We're still, you know, scientific information. We're still getting, you know, on the Ermey case. We're still getting autopsies, toxicologies, and all those type of things. It doesn't just come in the next day. You know, this stuff takes. We might get a preliminary on this and that, but we don't get an official document for weeks. I mean, sometimes a month and a half. So, in those type of things. And then, of course, as we deal with other technology stuff, we're a very small piece in some very, very large companies who have a global presence, and trying to get information.
Sure.
And there's people from that global presence that are all of them are trying to get information from those companies. And, you know, we'd like to be able to say, well, we'll just send this over, this search warrant or this warrant for records, and we'll have it back tomorrow. It's like, not, you know, again,
doesn't always work that easy.
CSI, they get it back in about a minute, but not so much for the real world.
Not in reality,
not
necessarily.
In reality,
so,
yeah.
So for those that are unaware of this case that we're referring to, can you give us the cliff notes, if you don't mind?
Well, we had a radio call of a shooting here a couple blocks from where we are now, and we got there, and there was one victim had been shot multiple times. Some sheriffs tried to perform some life-saving medical there. He was transported to the hospital, where he was pronounced deceased. The shooter of the case, in the case, called 911 himself, or called in and said that he'd been involved in a shooting, and then he gave us some information about the why, initial conversation,
sure.
And then. He was taken into custody. He was at the scene when officers responded. Some search warrants were served, and the weapon was recovered. It was right where the suspect said it was going to be. And now we're just trying to figure out some of the whys.
And not only did the suspect make a call to 911, I know there were several people
a
in
lot
the
of
area
people
that
call,
made,
yeah.
made
when,
a call.
When people start shooting at things or start shooting guns, lots of people call. We used to. When in my street days, when I was out on patrol, we'd get calls for service of shots, shooting in progress, this and that. But if it was only one person calling, generally it was not going to. But you knew when it was a good shooting because everybody in the neighborhood's calling. Oh my God, shot
sure.
down, you know, two doors down, this, that, you know. So multiple calls. And you'd expect multiple calls on multiple gunshots.
Absolutely, because there's, you know, there's different sounds sometimes that may sound like a gunshot, but for example, sometimes at the rail yard you can hear a train stop on a dime that's kind of loud, like you might picture a gunshot to sound like sometimes, and fireworks sometimes from a distance can sound similar as well, but when you get numerous calls from that small area, like you mentioned, you know exactly what you're dealing with. And you mentioned that some of the sheriff's deputies tried to render some life-saving techniques. Unfortunately, they were unsuccessful in this case, but this just is an example, one of the many examples we've talked about, how when something happens and the call goes out to the 911 emergency personnel, it's everybody that responds, because Lincoln County Sheriff's Office had officers there as well, you mentioned.
Absolutely. And these calls go out as all units. It's not just one Adam 12. It's mm-hmm. all units in the area, and the reality is everybody's going to respond. And so we had multiple units at scene. The sheriffs had multiple units at scene. The fire department responds units for the medical side of it. And then as the investigation goes, the county attorney's office rolls out. There's other people. You know, there's a lot of the scene itself is there's a lot of investigation. There's a lot of evidence to be collected and stuff like that. So it's a process.
Definitely not something that is solved in an hour like we see on the television shows we referenced a moment ago. These are things that it takes time. You continue building the case, like you mentioned as well, and gathering pieces of that puzzle.
Absolutely, and in this case happened to be the our understanding of it, again, because the parties involved were there. So that makes it a little, I hate to say the word, better. As the police and investigations, it makes it more, or it makes it more convenient for us as mm-hmm. far as not having to do a lot of, you know, there's still a lot of detective work, but
sure.
when you have the person that is the suspect calls 911 and says, I did this and this, you know, this and this, then those are called clues in our business.
Well, those are bigger pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's, you have two major pieces of the puzzle that were right there with the
yep.
Weapon that was used and with the individual that did use the weapon. So
absolutely.
Two major pieces of the puzzle that were right there, but it's not quite finished by any means.
No, and like I said, we'll continue to investigate it, and we'll continue to, the detectives or the investigators are still busy at work every single day, you know, and we're still working the Ermey case, and we still have a huge investigative presence on the Ethan Pallmeyer case. So I mean,
yeah.
So these aren't just something that once an arrest is made that gets shoved into a file drawer and then we just wait. No, they're active. They're active investigations, and they'll be active investigations up until the completion of the prosecution.
Yeah, ongoing, because you never know what's going to transpire. And like we've said before, what seems like a minor detail to one individual could be that missing piece of the puzzle. So obviously, if anybody has any information in any case, maybe the ones that we mentioned, or any case whatsoever, even if they think it's a minor detail, that could be a minor detail that's extremely beneficial to local law enforcement and to the case.
Absolutely, and generally on the cases where it's really been kind of the Ermey and the Ethan case, those cases were broken open by getting a couple phone calls. It wasn't,
sure.
You know, and that's it takes those phone calls or takes that information to start pushing or pointing us down a road that we need to get mm-hmm. to, because when you're sitting in the middle of an intersection and you've got 100 different roads that lead into it, you know, we spend a lot of time going down different roads, but if we can get some phone calls and get some information, and then that's why their title is investigators. They investigate, you know, so they're really, really good at it.
Oh,
and
I would, yeah.
You know, and they talk and a lot of communication, and again, like in the Kim case, the Ermey case, it was Greeley, Colorado, it was Florida, it was people from all over the country that helped us with that case. So, yeah, they continue to do good work. As I've said before, we don't want to be the best homicide investigators on this side of the state because of volume, but by gosh, our guys are pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And
yep.
We don't want it, like I said, we don't want that title because it generally means we're having a lot of practice, but right now it seems like we're getting some practice in, or having some practice, unfortunately, but they're doing great work, and they will continue to do awesome work. We're so blessed here in North Platte to have such, you know, an awesome group of officers and investigators that work for our organization and work for this community, and the relationships we have with the Sheriff's Department, the State Patrol, and the railroad, and all those people. So we continue to do our thing.
We're blessed, there's no doubt about it. And Chief Hudson, if there's somebody out there that has information of one of these cases or with something that they might feel, looking back on in retrospect, is useful, what's the best way for them to contact law enforcement agencies and get that information heard by a trained officer?
Well, there's a couple different ways. You can use Crime Stoppers online, and that's anonymous. You can go to Lincoln County Crime Stoppers, and you can put in that information. It doesn't ask for your name or anything like that, and we review those all the time. As those pop up, you know, at 8 o'clock at night, I'll get an email coming in saying, hey, we had this on Crime Stoppers. Some of those are people saying not flattering things about Dan Hudson, but that's all right. They send them to me to make sure that, hey, just wanted you to read this before you go to bed. They're read almost instantaneously. So Crime Stoppers, Lincoln County, there's the phone number to the police station is 308-535-6789, 308-535-6789. That goes to the front officer in the evening, and then officers later at night are dispatched and asked to speak to the investigators or tell them, hey, I've got some information on this, and they'll find the person you need to talk to.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, department has Facebook. We have other social media. You can send us messages, or you can send us emails, or walk into the front desk of the station. It's call 911, you know.
Easier to say how to not do it.
Yeah, we're pretty easy to get a hold of. We're not hiding.
Never far.
You know, whether you call your local police department and tell them you have some information about something that happened in North Platte, and Gothenburg will call us.
Yeah.
And that's actually on the Kim Ermey case. We started talking to Gothenburg police early in the day, and information was shared there. So, you know, whether you're in Colorado, whether you're in Alabama, wherever you are, go to your local police department and say, hey, I've heard this happened in Nebraska somewhere, and they'll get it to Nebraska, and it'll make its way to us.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and continue our chat with the chief, with Chief of Police for the City of North Platte, Dan Hudson, after a quick break here on KODY.
When legal representation is required, Lindemeyer Law Office is your first call. This is Bob from Lindemeyer Law Office. My staff and I have more than 95 years of combined experience in law and will work for you. With specialized knowledge and skills, we have the experience in criminal defense, immigration law, probate and estate law, along with family, custody, and juvenile law, and personal injury. Our team of Amanda Spikert, Kent Form, Shantae Durham, and myself have made differences in people's lives. Contact us for free initial consultation at Lindemeyer Law Office, 534-6740, or at Flat Rock.
All of us are facing a new normal right now. Maybe you're paralyzed by the quiet, anxious for what lies ahead, or maybe you're stressed, struggling to parent, work from home, and just breathe. There's no right or wrong emotion. Whatever you're feeling, know we are here to help. Lutheran Family Services has secure and confidential virtual telehealth services to help with your mental health needs. No one will be denied care. Please visit lfsneb.org to learn more.
White Auction Service will be conducting the Needin' Moving Sale, followed by the Rex Boggs Gun Auction, all at the west end of Hershey, Saturday, June 13th at 9:30. Selling on the Needin' Auction at 9:30 will be tractors, equipment, fifth-wheel camper, and more. Selling on the Boggs Sale at noon will be over 80 guns, hunting equipment, and miscellaneous items. For pictures, go to whiteauctionservice.com. That's the Needin' Moving Auction and the Rex Boggs Gun Auction, this Saturday, west end of First Street in Hershey at 9:30. Conducted by White Auction Service. Let White do it right.
Are you a current business owner looking for banking options that fit your business plan? Then come see the bankers at Great Western Bank. With cash management tools and the industry's best online banking, we have people that can help your business grow. Hi, I'm Leland Poppy, president at Great Western Bank. Don't detour your plans. Drive straight at the S-curve and into Great Western Bank to see one of our business bankers, and let's grow your business together. Great Western Bank, the only name in business banking to make your business great. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Bruce Furniture Studios here for Mugs in the Morning on KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. At 8:21, your time and temp is service of Mike and the crew from Grease Monkey. 8:21, 55 degrees. Sunny today with a high near 84. And Chief Hudson, you were saying off the air a moment ago, you welcomed those thunderstorms and a little bit of rain here, you're a fan of the thunder.
I like the thunder and lightning. I do. I love to sit out in the back on the porch and watch the lightning. And I mean, I don't like the destructive manner that the winds and the lightning and the hail does to our farmers and people's vehicles and stuff. But I just, that was one thing that I always joke about when I lived in Southern California. I missed the thunder. I mean, I probably heard 4 thunder booms in the 26 years I was there, and then people go crazy. You know, it's like, oh my God, we had the storm of the century last night. There was a lightning strike. It's like, oh, you haven't seen anything.
And when you're from Nebraska, you're telling them, no, this was nothing.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love, like I said, I love to sit there and watch the rain and the thunder and the lightning. And there's nothing better than go in. It's funny because I have one of those white noise or sleep things on my phone that I turn on every night, and I have it on thunder and rain.
I know a lot of people enjoy those. Yeah, they help out, that's for sure.
Gosh, there's nothing. Growing up, going camping and stuff, and sometimes you put in their rain on a tent or something like that to sleep in. It's like,
I love
my
that
goodness.
Sound.
Or rain on a car, it's like,
Yep. Oh, yeah, I love the sound of that trickle down there. Now, when severe weather does strike, how does the North Platte Police Department help out if there is tragedy that strikes? Or is there anything that, when severe weather rolls in, that you and your officers have to be cautious of or aware of?
Well, our biggest thing is our 911 dispatch center. Each console has one of their 9 screens, or however many screens, is always on weather. And, you know, we track it all the time. And then as severe weather comes in, you know, our smart 911 system, they put out different things about thunderstorms and severe weather warnings and stuff. So that can come directly to your cell phone. The Lincoln County Emergency Management System, they put stuff out. And, you know, our big things are just that we really are especially like this week, was wind and power or damage to power lines and power lines coming down. So, you know, anytime we will just remind people, if you come across the down power line, don't touch it, don't cross it, don't drive over it, don't say, oh, well, my car is insulated. Just stay away from it.
Yeah.
You know, and call 911 or call the city so that we can get out there and make sure that line is not powered. Or, you know, that's just a cable line. Nope, it wasn't. So just stay away from it, but give us a call, and that's our big thing. If a power line comes down on top of your car or something like that, stay in the car, call 911, and let the professionals, the firefighters, come out there, and that's what they get paid for, and the city will come out and make sure that it's all safe.
Yeah, they're the professionals. They're the ones that are going to handle it professionally and make sure that everything is safe. And yeah, you don't want somebody that is a self-proclaimed professional handling it.
Yeah, the reality is, if I show up, I'm going to say, wow, look at that. Yep, there really is a power line down. So we're going to call my friends over. We're going to call Chief Thompson, and he's got a whole bunch of guys that are going to come out here, and they know exactly what to do.
Oh,
so,
yeah. They're trained for those situations.
Absolutely. And then if they don't know how to do it, they're going to call over to the city electrical and Scott, and those guys are going to come out, and they'll take care of it. So just be patient and give us time.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it'll get solved, that's for sure. So a lot been going on here the past several months, Chief Hudson. As we know, there's been quite a bit going on. COVID-19 still out there on the focus of a lot of people. So how are things going for you on a personal level? And then for the City of North Platte Police Department, how are things going in the COVID-19 battle?
I think things I hate to say it, but I think things, as time goes on, it's just, you know, you read stuff or you hear stuff, and one of the commercials you had, the new norm.
Yeah.
Well, I think people, you know, we still don't need to become complacent on it, but I think there is a sense of new normalcy just because. But it is interesting to watch people, and as they go back out and they start, you know, going to restaurants and things like that, you know, the social distancing, people are better about it. And I know when I stand around in groups of people, you can tell that there's maybe not quite the 6 feet. Well, of course there are the 6 feet, but people aren't standing in groups and stuff like that, and we like to see it. Our numbers, I think, are holding. We've had a couple weeks with no new numbers, and then the last week we've had 4 or 5 new cases here in our region. But it hasn't been the crazy takeoff that some places have seen. We're hoping it doesn't as we start to open things back up. The governors, you know, they're thing with restaurants and bars and different things opening back up. People have been pretty good about it, though. So, you know, we still worry about it. We still, as a staff, and, you know, I still am concerned for our staff's exposure. Or we had, the other day, we had someone that said they had, you know, had this, and this, and we're trying to figure it all out also, trying to do that. But it's still out there, but people seem to be doing a pretty good job, and I think it's going to be out there. It's you know, next flu season we'll test for influenza A, B, and COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, so not to take anything away from it, but I think it's not going away, and we'll get through it.
Yep, absolutely. We'll continue battling it. It's going to be a learning curve, but I think we've already had our most steep part of the learning curve, if you will, in a lot of ways.
Well, knowledge is important in this, and as the sitting through all the different meetings and from when it first hit, sitting through these conference calls or conference meetings and trying to figure out what the heck's going on to now where they have a little bit better understanding, and now the scientists have had a little bit of time to try to figure some stuff out, and you know, some of the stuff that was the hysteria early on was okay, well, we've determined now that maybe that's not the way it's going to be transferred, or so all that stuff continues to change, and then you'll have it going back this way, and then all of a sudden someone will say, oops, maybe we were wrong on that too. So, you know,
the winds change.
Yeah, they're doing a great job, and they're keeping, there's a lot of information out there. There's still more and more information every single day that comes out, and all we ask is for people to, if you're susceptible, if you have immune deficiencies and stuff like that in your immunity system, take the cautions you need to take care of it. It's interesting to see, you know, there's so much going on lately in social media with demonstrations and large gatherings and people, where's everyone's masks and why didn't this happen and why did, you know, what the social distancing, and it's kind of interesting to hear, you know, of everything going on with what that is, that's the thing that we noticed.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so it's always interesting. Yeah.
Now, on a COVID front here, Chief Hudson, you and your staff, you mentioned a few months ago that, you know, you would be serving friendly reminders for folks to keep that 10-person rule in effect. Obviously, that's changed as of now, but did you have to do much friendly reminders? Did you and your staff have to, I mean, obviously, you didn't have to bust down any doors, and you made it very clear that you and your staff weren't going to be busting down any doors, but you would serve some friendly reminders. So did you have to issue some of those friendly reminders and remind people to maintain that distance?
Not really, actually. People were really, really good about it. Well, and especially once kind of the bars and restaurants stuff closed, you know, and most of the churches closed and stuff like that. So there wasn't a lot of gatherings to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's funny or interesting. I had a speaking engagement at 7 this morning, and someone had asked that they had heard the rumors that we'd gone around and we'd cited churches and we'd cited all this stuff. And I can tell you that the North Platte Police Department did not issue any citations. We did not. I mean, we had maybe one or two towards the end when stuff started loosening up, when things were getting ready to open, this and that. We talked to a couple owners of establishments that they had interpreted things a little differently than what we were told to interpret stuff, but they were great, and then they closed right back up again, but there was no there was no citations, there was no threats, there was no it was just about going out and making sure that we were all on the same page. And you know, so much of what we do is about communication. It's just being able to talk and get out there and get ahead of it rather than let it fester or let things continue to grow. And it's harder to put some of that stuff, that genie back in the bottle once it's all the way out. But we met with folks and we discussed our interpretation of it and they discussed their interpretation of it and we came upon an agreement and they were great. So, yeah, we haven't written any citations. We haven't really had to go out there and tell anybody. So I think, again, our business community, our local community, or just our population has been pretty good about it.
I think Nebraskans do a really good job about when something's recommended by a higher-up, rather it be a health official or a government official, they're going to follow that recommendation. Even though, you know, there wasn't a direct law and the hammer wasn't necessarily thrown, there were some recommendations put into place and some guidelines that were a little more strict than others. But I think for the most part, Nebraskans, if there's a recommendation, they're going to follow it.
Absolutely. And you know, and then you read different things. Well, this is just the governor's. It's a recommendation. It's just that, yeah. But there was some legally enforceable elements of that of that health mandate. There still is, and there, which makes it a misdemeanor crime if it comes to that point. But our goal is just not to get there.
Yeah.
And we've said that from day one, is our goal is just through communication and through education. And I think at this point, the education well, people at this point know a lot more about COVID-19 than we ever dreamt when we first started hearing about it. It's like, okay, whatever. And now it's like, oh my goodness, the knowledge, the things we've already forgotten about COVID-19. But our people do a great job, and our community does a great job, and we don't have the, there's always going to be members that are going to just push the fringe just to see, and that's one of those things that sometimes we have to go out and just, hey, okay, let's not get too far down this road. So it's worked well.
We're going to continue our chat with the Chief Hudson after we take a quick news break here on KODY's Mugs in the Morning.
Time to check your local news. Here's Tristan Winder.
Analysis conducted by the Nebraska Farm Bureau indicates Nebraska's agricultural economy could face nearly $3.7 billion in losses due to COVID-19 if economic conditions do not improve in 2020. The estimate is based on a snapshot of revenue losses projected for 2020 commodities that make up the bulk of the state's agricultural economy, including corn, soybeans, wheat, beef, pork production, along with dairy and ethanol. The North Platte Area Chamber and Development Corporation has announced that they've secured a land option agreement with a Hershey area landowner on a proposed 118-acre rail park development. The chamber says that preliminary steps are moving forward in what's anticipated to be a multi-level developing process over the next few years. Chamber and DevCo President and CEO Gary Person describes this as a potential game changer in the recruitment of additional base industries and manufacturing in Lincoln County. Confirmed coronavirus positives in the West Central District Health Department's jurisdiction have now risen to 53. Confirmed COVID-19 positives in the state have now risen to just over 16,000, with reported 195 deaths. And a reminder that Test Nebraska will be in North Platte this weekend at the North Platte Bus Facility from 8 a.m. to noon, both Saturday and Sunday.
Acres Equipment, your local John Deere dealership, is here to serve you with all your John Deere needs. Low-rate financing on all new riding lawnmowers, 0% interest on new compact utility tractors, 0% interest for 60 months on used combines and self-propelled forage harvesters, 0.9% interest for 60 months on used 6 through 9 series tractors. Follow us on social media at Acres Equipment.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Sunshine for your day today, a high topping out at 83. Then tonight, we don't have much going on. Mid-50s under a clear sky. Light southeast wind, 5 miles per hour. Sunny on Friday, 87 for your high. Friday night, we don't see a whole lot going on. Clear, 57. That's your weather forecast for KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
Husker Radio Sports.
With a look at your Husker Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Struckman. 18 Nebraska baseball players were named to the academic All-Big Ten selections announced by the conference yesterday. 4 Huskers, Joe Acker, Connor Curry, Luke Roskam, and Paul Tillotson, each received academic Big Ten honors for the third time. 6 other Huskers earned it for the second time, and there was first-time honorees for 9 others. To be eligible for academic All-Big Ten selection honors, students must be on a varsity team and carry a cumulative grade point average of 3.0. or higher. Nebraska Wrestling got high honors on recruiting classes as Wrestler Insider News Magazine released their 2019-20 recruiting rankings yesterday. And Nebraska's incoming class was ranked 2nd in the nation, trailing only that of Oklahoma State. The Huskers entered the 2021 season coming off their best conference tournament finish as a member of the Big Ten and after qualifying all 10 starters for the wrestling championships, which were canceled. And speaking of canceled, the North Platte Community College Athletic Department has made the decision to call off most of its youth and teen camps. All volleyball and women's basketball camps have been canceled, including the joint camp scheduled for July. The volleyball and women's basketball team camps planned for July are also off, and the men's basketball team has canceled all of its individual camps. The team camp is still being considered for men's basketball, pending state health measures. That's sports. I'm Tanner Struckman.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so badly, he ended up in the emergency room and spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy about telling people not to smoke around your kids.
Call the Nebraska Tobacco Quit Line, 1-800-QUIT-NOW, 1-800-784-8669. Paid for by Tobacco Free Nebraska. Aired with the Nebraska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back to the KODY studio for more Mugs in the Morning with Tristan Winder, only on KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
It's a special edition of Mugs in the Morning, live from the Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering Studios. Our monthly chat with the Chief, with Chief Dan Hudson of the North Platte Police Department's underway. Chief, as always, we appreciate the time, sir.
It's always great to come in and chat.
Now, Chief, a lot going on here in terms of national news surrounding the death of George Floyd. I don't think we've had a chance to talk about this here on Mugs in the Morning as of yet. We've had a couple of good, peaceful demonstrations here locally. I think two Sundays ago, I bumped into you down here at the corner of 4th and Jeffers. There was a good demonstration down there. And then this past Sunday, a good demonstration that our local law enforcement officers and agencies were involved with as well.
Absolutely. Two Sundays ago, they had a demonstration, probably about 75 to 85 people, maybe a little more, at 4th and Jeffers. And that was something that kind of just had spun up on the Internet. And they did a good job. We monitor a lot of different things to kind of see what's going on in the community, and it was kind of interesting that morning. We'd been seeing it, and then we kind of started getting other people that there was a lot of chatter about it. So, people had started reaching out to us, and then I didn't have Devin's phone number, so at some point I just got on Facebook Messenger and texted him and said, "Hi, my name is Dan Hudson. I'm the chief of police. We'd love to chat with you about your." And he invited me to come down a little early. So I don't know if he was surprised when I showed up and I got out of my car, and it's like, oh my goodness. So and we talked, and we just kind of, hey, how can we? You know, the first thing we want to ensure everybody understands is, you know, the North Platte Police Department is here to protect everybody's First Amendment right. Mm-hmm. You know, their constitutional First Amendment right to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition the government, all those types of things. We're not here we're here to keep the peace, but we're here to protect your First Amendment rights. And it was kind of interesting. So we discussed kind of what their plans were, and we explained to them what any concerns we might have, and we said, hey, as long as we do all the stuff, we're gonna get along great. And then Sheriff Kramer came out that day, Chief Thompson from the fire department, he came out, just popped in for a second and gave some hugs. And then we were out there, and lots of people came by. It was a good day, you know, in reading different stuff. There was a few people that drove by, and you know, as I said to Big Rob later and to some other folks in the media and stuff, well, as you stood here and expressed your constitutional First Amendment rights, other people drove by and expressed their First Amendment constitutional rights. And yeah. And all we're here is to keep the peace and stuff like that. So they did a great job. And then Big Rob, after that one, had decided that he wanted to do a march. Mm-hmm. And he organized that, and we had sat with him quite a bit and tried to make sure that we could assist and that we could do it safely and stuff like that. And I would say we probably had 400, 450, maybe a little more on the march. And it was Harvest Christian did a great job of offering up their parking lot. And then the support people, the Subway brought Subways, and Little Caesars brought pizzas, and people brought water. And there was water and Gatorade and food, and it was hot. And it was a great day. There was absolutely no issues, no incidents. You know, people drove by and honked, and we had, some, always people get upset about people in the roads and stuff like that. But you know what? It's easier to try to keep everyone together in a large group in the roadway and provide some protection for them rather than have stuff spread out 8 blocks long. Mm-hmm. And then because that's, as a law enforcement official, the more people are spread out, the harder it gets to provide, to ensure safety for all people. So we'd much rather have, there's times where we go to the front of the pack and say, tell the front, or especially the police car in the front, slow down, we're getting too spread out. Mm-hmm. Because as we start spreading out 3 or 4 blocks, we can't, it's harder for us to control all those intersections to make sure people don't, because at some point someone's going to get sick and tired of waiting. Mm-hmm. And they're going to nudge through or edge through, and you got peds in the roadway and you have people walking and stuff. So our goal is to keep everyone together, keep the package together, move it safely from point A to point B, and we did that, and they were fantastic. And again, that was well attended by all social economics classes, all you know, there were all races. It wasn't just this or that. It was a pretty fair representation of our North Platte community, and the mayor was there, the sheriff was there again, Chief Thompson came out in March. There were several other people I saw in the crowd from the fire department and different people from government and stuff like that. So it's great to see the community come together and be able to do it peacefully. The issues that we have with those is there's so much information, there's so much disinformation that comes out.
Yes.
And people are calling, and my sister saw 5 busloads of agitators unloaded at local hotels last night, you know, this, and oh, I've heard this and we've heard that. There's so much information out there. And we as an organization have to, we track all that down.
Mm-hmm.
I think we started at 8 o'clock, and our people and myself, we spoke to every motel, hotel manager in North Platte that morning trying to
Wow.
say, hey, did you have people come in last night? Did you have, you know, and no, you know, they would go through, and they were all great about, oh, we only have, you know, 14 rooms, or nope, we had this and that. And there were other events, there were some other groups that were in town for
mm-hmm.
that we had heard about, and we made, you know, that we got information that they were here for a wedding for this group, or so we did a pretty good job of trying to understand who's here and why are they here, you know, and you know, we're not here to try to determine who are you and why are you here. It's just trying to make sure that people aren't coming in to be a part of this activity in a negative way, and that's all we care about. Again, is everybody's First Amendment constitutional right to freedom to gather, freedom to express, freedom to petition government, all those things, and to make sure our package gets from point A to point B without anyone getting hurt,
as safely as possible.
As safely as possible, and that's what we're here for. And that's what happened. It was a great day, and it was hot, it was windy, and everyone was so kind and peaceful. And Big Rob, to see the smile on his face and to read some of the stuff that he's put out on his Facebook and some of his social media, Big Rob had a good week.
Good, good. And I'm a firm believer that I think our North Platte community showed the rest of the world how this is supposed to be done. It was a good presentation and a good demonstration 2 weeks ago at the corner of 4th and Jeffers, peacefully done. Some people came and showed up and stayed for a while. Some stopped in for a quick second. Some just drove by and supported. For this past Sunday, like you mentioned, a few hundred gathered and peacefully assembled and showed exactly how this should be done.
Absolutely, and it was great to get together and get out. And I won't lie to you if I tell you, and I know in Sheriff Kramer and I's conversation, we both lost some sleep that week trying to think about what ifs and all the scenarios mm-hmm. that run through our heads, and you know, and then all the other things that we're hearing, and what are we going to do if this happens and this happens, and I know talking to Jerome that day and that morning and stuff like that, we were both like, oh boy, let's get through this, because both of us were having the exact same things running through our heads, and
sure.
just like you know, and I don't know, how do I say this? Because, and I don't want to necessarily speak for Jerome or Chief Thompson, Dennis Thompson from the fire department. When we talk, we spend a lot of time worried. You know, it's not just okay, go home, go. You're not just off duty. You go home
yeah.
and go to eat your dinner, do your thing, and go to bed. We spend a lot of time truly concerned and worrying about our community, worrying
mm-hmm.
about our staffs, worrying about the great big picture for North Platte and
worrying about the community.
And the community and stuff. And you just want so badly for nothing bad to happen, because you never want anything bad to happen on your watch. You
mm-hmm.
know, because it sure is nice when great things happen and people come up and pat you on the shoulder and say, great job, you guys are doing a fantastic job. You know, but we're also the ones that are the responsibility when bad things happen. And you know, it's easy, and I think in our leadership styles is when good things happen, it's because we have great people that work for us. We have incredible officers out there that do tremendous jobs, and we try so hard to make sure when positive things happen that those people get the credit that they deserve. When negative things happen, it's all on my shoulders, Jerome's shoulders, Dennis's shoulders, and because
yeah.
we're the people at the end of the day that have to say, yeah, we made a mistake, or I made a mistake, and we, like I say, we spend a lot of time concerned and worried and trying to run through a lot of scenarios, and it sure is nice when it's all tucked up, put away nicely, and you can go, oh,
Now, not one to speak for the sheriff by any means either, but it's no secret. He did a great interview with Beatrice from the TV station, and it was very evident that Jerome was saddened by the death of George Floyd in the manner that it was. And I know in talking to you in the past too, Chief Hudson, it was something that that you were saddened about as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I saw that interview, and I thought it was a great interview. I texted the sheriff and said, hey, nicely done, and stuff like that. But I don't think you're not going to find a law enforcement professional, a true law enforcement professional anywhere in the country or probably the world that's not going to say, wow, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And not say that there were mistakes just horrific mistakes made. And we do so much training on positional asphyxiation and all these things and getting people into, you know, if they're on their stomach, once they're handcuffed, you roll them over, you set them up, you get them up, you know, to have someone just even lay on their stomach for long, prolonged periods of time, just with their hands behind their back, handcuffed and stuff. There's a danger there.
Yeah.
And scientifically, we know that and we train for that. And our first one is set them up.
Yeah, and you want them to be comfortable too.
Absolutely,
I've noticed before in the Hollywood cops and locally too. I've seen you put them in the back seat of the car because that's more comfortable than the ground, and you want them to be comfortable.
Yeah,
I know.
We're not. Our job is not to discipline people. It's not to inflict pain or this and that. It's once those handcuffs, and we talk about it all the time, every day at work. You know, we do have instances where we have to use force. But once those handcuffs are on, it's over. It is absolutely over.
There's no need for further force.
No, there is. You know, you cross a line right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know whether and when you've seen some unbelievable images come across the country of officers standing on lines, holding the line with people up just right at their face, screaming, yelling, pointing fingers at them, telling them they're number one, really close, and just, you know, and. We talk constantly at our department. The most important words kind of in law enforcement right now is, hey, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about when you see your partner out there and you start, you know, we all have those tells. You start rolling your shoulders, moving your head, the argument's on. Grab him by the shoulder. Hey, pull him back. It's okay. I got this. You know, let me mm-hmm. take this for a minute. And then de-escalate. We talk so much in the law enforcement community today about de-escalation.
Sure.
And it's about trying to, you know, and we all can get emotionally hijacked. We all can get into that. And I was listening to some different things last night on leadership and just talking about. But we talk about once that argument starts, nobody's listening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All it is now is I'm trying to think of my next
zinger. Next argument?
Or what is my argument? I'm not listening to a thing you're saying because it's gone so far wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to listen, and what we need to do is sometimes reach up, pull somebody back. And say, listen, he's gone now. You're talking to me. How can we help you? It's okay. And it works sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. But we have to try. Mm-hmm. You know, someone has to do it. And we talk so much about, you know, all the good. You know, 1,000 attaboys is wiped out by one. Oh, dang.
Mm-hmm.
I changed that up a little bit. Other people have heard me say it with another word. But 1,000 attaboys, everything, our profession can do everything right for 2, 3, 4, 30 years. We can just be, you know, and things that we might be doing right here in North Platte, one incident thousands of miles away has a tremendous impact on our profession. And
mm-hmm.
and I will tell you, as I'm sitting here starting to talk with my hands, I'm getting passionate. But what we have to do is all right, it's time to stand back up, dust ourselves off as a profession, and start in again. And just start in with building, you know, solutions are built through communications, respect, and just trust. And as we try to build those things, and we do those things by putting ourselves out there, coffee with a cop, donut with a cop, picnics, this and that, all those things that people say, why do we do this? It's because we've got to be out there, and we have to make sure that our community understands who we are, that they understand that our officers are just people.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, for 30 years since a little less, 28 was the riots or the civil unrest in Los Angeles after Rodney King, our profession has done a good job, I think, for the most part. There's always failures. There's always things that, darn, I wish we could have done that better. But as a profession, I think we've spent time, we've spent effort, we've spent tremendous money on training, talking about de-escalation tactics, bringing in tools into our toolbox for less lethal, for all these things that you see, because our law enforcement community, we don't want to be involved in these horrific fights and things that end badly, because it's a no-win situation. And again, this isn't anything nearly as important as what happened in Minneapolis, because a human lost his life, and lost his life at the hands of law enforcement. And like I say, there's nobody that I can justify it. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
But what also happens is then the rage becomes, and we can't justify that either. We have to be able to sit down. We have to be able to talk. We have to be able to truly understand. And I tell people, you know, we can get into conversations about race, and those are difficult conversations, because I will tell you, as a 52-year-old white man, my life experiences are different than this. So, you know, but by listening and trying to understand, and don't just say, oh, that doesn't exist because I've never experienced it. Well, I might not have experienced it. That doesn't mean that you haven't experienced it. Yeah. And it doesn't mean, you know, and to try to marginalize someone's life experience and personal experiences based on my personal experience, it's disingenuous. And that's part of our problem that we have as a society today, is we have to be able to take a step back, stop, listen, and try to understand, and at times respectfully agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We've got a long ways to go. We've come a long ways. The law enforcement side of the community, the military community, those are communities where internally we see huge strides on relationships with all you know, whether it's LGBTQ. Black, Hispanic, other, you know, women rise to the ranks. You know, our profession, along with the military, has done a good job, but we still strive to be better, and we still strive every day to diversify the North Platte Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard when, you know, trying to attract, recruit, and stuff from a community that is, you know, 96%. Caucasian, and it breaks down and stuff like that. But of the officers we have, we have to be understanding. We have to be diverse. We have to be approachable. We have to be empathetic. We have to be compassionate. We have to be passionate about our profession. I think as we just work through those things and don't discount other people's life's experience. And there will be people that have had bad experiences with the North Platte Police Department, and I'll hear about it. I had a young man come up to me in the march the other day, and he's like, I wasn't treated very well by the North Platte Police Department. And as much as, you know, just that hurts my heart, because these are our people. This is my mm-hmm. family, and it hurts my heart. But I don't just say, oh, no, you didn't go away.
Yeah.
You know, you listen.
You listen, and you see
and
how you
try
can
to
help.
Sit there and say, you know, and at the end of the day, I'm sorry that happened. Understanding also that there's always a couple
there's
different
another side
sides.
Of the coin.
There's always other sides, but you know, we don't want people to have bad experiences with law enforcement. And whether you had a bad experience with the sheriffs, or you had a bad experience with Gothenburg, you had a bad experience with North Platte,
yep.
That will go with that person forever. And the story, when, you know, how many times have we heard, well, I heard the police did this. Well, who'd you hear that from? You know, what did that happen? Oh, I heard it from my cousins, brothers, uncles, nephews.
Yeah.
You know, so it's... The stories grow. That old experiment that you have 10 people in line,
yep,
I tell you something,
telephone
by the
game.
time it gets down, the story changes drastically. And we just, as a profession, we have to continue to do better. We have to continue to grow. We have to continue to work on solutions. And those solutions are based on communication, trust, and respect. And I think as long as we can continue to do that and continue to have a conversation, we'll get through it, and we'll come out stronger. I mean, I was talking to people today, and this isn't too far from what the 60s went through. And before that, it was, you know, civil rights stuff. So our country's been through this before. Hopefully we come out better on the other end of it, and we start talking, and we start having that dialogue.
I agree. Now, Chief Hudson, changing gears here a little bit, a couple weeks, well, last week, the city of North Platte did experience some power outages, unfortunately, that did affect this part of the area and this part of the community, and it raised some concerns on social media about the proper way to handle things when our traffic lights are out. So I want to take this opportunity and hear directly from you. If we do have a power outage, or say that we lose the traffic signals or the traffic lights at some intersections, how should our North Platte citizens perceive and staying safe without the use of that traffic light for whatever reason it may be?
Basically, if a traffic light is out, you should treat it as a stop sign. Any kind of, it's a controlled intersection. It should be a stop sign. Anything, if it's blinking, if it's blinking red or yellow or anything like that, assume it's a stop sign. And remember, when you come to the stop sign, if you're not there first, you don't go first. But otherwise, it's yield to the person, the vehicle to the right, the intersection. So if you're going southbound, the person coming eastbound on whatever street, they would have the right of way. So treat it as a stop sign. You know, and slow down. And I know people say, oh, you know, I'm just going to continue through, and there can be some really, really bad accidents and stuff. So, again, our thing would be just to slow down. If you know we have severe weather, and you'll normally, they'll either go to blinking, and sometimes I think this last weekend they went totally out.
Yeah.
It's a stop sign. Treat it as a stop sign. You know there's lights hanging there, and if they're turned off, doesn't mean it's a raceway. It's not green flag racing.
Not time to accelerate.
You know, it's just slow down and treat it as a stop sign.
I was reporting on severe weather earlier in the week, and as I was continuing our coverage or wrapping up our coverage, there was an accident that happened at the corner of 4th and Jeffers. It didn't appear to be too serious, but I did do a quick report, tell people to avoid the area. Obviously, with weather like that and with that rainfall coming down too, there's only so much you can do, but it's extremely important not only to make sure that you have everything up and running properly on your vehicle, but to have good windshield wipers so that visibility can stay up to par as well.
Absolutely. Windshield wipers, fluid, you know, because it's bug season. You've driven outside of town on any of our highways, it's bug season. So, just make sure you have good wipers. Make sure you have fluids in your cars and stuff like that so that when you get the bugs or you get debris or dirt or mud or whatever, that you can get it off so you can have a clear field of vision. But it's important, you know, we're in that time of year too. Lock your cars. Our car burglaries our car thefts and stuff are going way up. Our property crimes are up. Our crime in general is up about 12% this time to last year. We're up 41% in arrests. So, but it's that time of year where we leave windows open now, or we run in real quick to grab something and stuff gets stolen out of our cars and stuff. So just continue to harden the target.
And I need to bring this up. We do have to get to Fox News soon. We might run over here a minute. Wanted to bring this up, and it slipped my mind until now. But I'm sure that you're aware, I think it was throughout May, there were some people here selling some home security systems. And I don't think they were necessarily by any means trying to put fear into citizens of North Platte, but home security system definitely doesn't hurt. But for people that can't afford that home security system, what would you recommend for them to do to keep their home safe rather than just the simple lock?
I think locking your doors, making sure, you know, trimming your brush back or trees back, or don't have big, huge things that cover windows. There's some relatively inexpensive camera systems that are out there that you can put in. You can buy, I won't put out a name, but there are systems you can buy for $25 that are cameras that I've had before in my houses, and they work great, and they have motions anytime someone walks through it. There's some expensive stuff out there, but lights, putting lights out, making sure you have floodlights, motion detector floodlights, you can buy those on different things. Dogs.
Yeah.
Barkers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's funny. We always had German Shepherds, and I used to tease people, that's my 85-pound motion detector. Because
that is my home security system.
Yeah, because she, you know, and weather, and statistics will show people, if your intent is to break into houses and do things like that, you want something that's not going to be any problem. You're going to check a door. You don't want to break glass. You don't want to bring attention to yourself. You don't want, and if you have a barking dog going crazy in the house, they're going to keep on walking.
Yep.
You know, so, and it doesn't have to be a big dog. Just any noise, people that do that, that are in that business, and it truly is a business, they just want the easy target. And, you know, you've got to harden your own target. Lock your doors, lock your windows, keep them open. You know, this time of the day, it's great to have our windows open. But if you leave the house, if you're, you know, we have windows open at night, but if you leave, lock the windows, because people are just looking for that easy access.
And even if you're a sound sleeper, probably close that window up at night if it's in a remote area of your home you're not in a lot in the evening.
Absolutely. And again, we talk about just harden the target. You know, you think about it, it's like,
don't make it easy on the criminal.
Don't make it easy on the criminal. So that's good.
Chief Hudson, as always, we appreciate the time. We do have to wrap up, but always good to see you, my friend.
It's always a pleasure to be here, and I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Chief. We're going to get to Fox News here on KODY North Platte with translator K291BW. Mugs in the Morning returns tomorrow here on Husker Radio.